Song. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Esther. Esther is a powerful, true story in the Bible, and encourage you to read it, meditate on it. So there's a lot below the surface as well as on the surface of the story of Esther. If you get to the book of Job, go back to your left and pick it up with me. We're going to read a few verses in chapter 3. As time allows, we'll refer to some others. And for the tape room up there, I'm going to speak on, try to make this my subject this morning, the Holocaust to pay. I started to say to come, but I think I'm going to use the word pay. Picking it up in Esther chapter 3, let's just read the first six verses. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. That was that he was a Jew. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Now, the word Holocaust has been in the news a little bit this week. We had one of our own Florida politicians running off at the mouth and compared, foolishly, the people without health care coverage as the rest of us committing Holocaust on them. That was in the news. It made pretty good little bit of news. Of course, he's beginning to spin it a little bit. It amazes me, all the spin that goes on in the news. You know what that is? That's a dodging of the truth. Spinning. I think about a story I read. I'm sure it's not true. May not be true anyway. Kid was looking in the lion's cage at a zoo. Several people around. And got too close, and the lion reached out and grabbed its sleeve and was trying to pull it through the bars. Well, typical crowd. They all begin to scream and holler, but nobody helped the kid. A biker was coming by, jumped off his bike, run over to the cage, took his fist, hit the lion right in the nose, hard as he could. The lion let go of the kid and backed off, and of course he pulled the kid away, and a New York Times reporter ran up, said, that's the bravest thing I've ever seen. I want to report that. He said, it wasn't brave. Said, the lion was behind the bars. Said, no danger really. And he said, oh, it was good. I'll write about it tomorrow. So here's what the headline said. The headline said, biker assaults African immigrant and steals his lunch. Oh, that's the spin you get, brother. And if you've ever dealt with the news media, you know that's not too big of an exaggeration. Amen. That fellow, he's spinning, you know. He knows what he said. He don't want to back up. He's defending it. But, of course, the Holocaust stirs the memory of Hitler and the 6 million Jews that was burned in the ovens. And now we've got Ahmadinejad, or whatever his name is, the Iranian nut over there, saying it never took place. But though it never took place, like Haman, he wants to do it again. That's kind of where we're at in the news today. But the Jews have a little saying, never again. And they vowed it won't happen ever again. And today we see the sword rattling and we understand all the big talk, and now we've discovered that there's an underground facility over there in Iran, and that they've been deceiving and lying to us, and we discover there's a credibility gap because we've been told now that our government knew it even before the election and so forth. But anyway, there's a real threat going on. But you see, the cause of the threat today goes way back. It goes back into the Bible. It goes back into the text that I'm reading to you, the book I'm reading to you today. And the case goes way back. It's a kinfolk battle, feud, if you please. Hey, by the way, did you see in the stimulus package that some grants are being, I'm not joking, some grants are being allowed now to study the Hatfield-McCoy feud? I know it's laughable, but thousands, millions of dollars for something like that. I'll tell you what happened. Those hillbillies got at each other, that's all. It was a personal feud, that's all. I mean, we even had a member of our church here who was a preacher, Brother Herb Hatfield. He's gone on to heaven now. He was part of the Hatfield family, and he and I sat down and talked about it a lot. He tried to convince me the Hatfields was right. I didn't really care. But I do care my tax money's being spent on it. To dig up that, a bunch of junk, man. Bunch of junk. It's amazing. But anyway, the cause goes back into a kinfolk feud, even as it were here in the Bible. That's true of the Jews. Look at it in Esther chapter 2 and verse 5. Keep your Bible open. Sometime we reference something. Chapter 2 and verse 5 of Esther. And it says, now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, what's the next word, son of Kish, K-I-S-H, a Benjamite. Now we're getting a little bit of a heritage on the kinfolk here of who Mordecai was. Mordecai was a Jew. But now, I won't ask you to go to it, but if you were to go back and pick it up in 1 Samuel, you'd read about the first king of Israel by the name of Saul. Do you know who he was? He was head and shoulders above the crowd, but he was a Benjamite. But it also says he was, his name was Kish. He was of the same family as Mordecai. Now, do you remember the story in the Old Testament where the prophet Samuel was sent to Saul after he was anointed king, and God told him to destroy the Amalekites, remember? And you remember how he was told to destroy them all, and when Samuel came to find out what Saul had done, he come up to Saul and said, did you destroy all of them like I said? And Saul said, yes, I did. And Samuel said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep that I hear? You were told to destroy not only the people, but the animals and everything. And Saul said, well, we kept some of the fattest of the sheep to put in the offering plate. Now, I'm paraphrasing that, but it's to sacrifice to God. That's what he was saying. Made excuse, sort of like somebody said, well, if I hit the lottery, I'm going to tithe off of it. We're good about excusing our wrong, aren't we? Yes, we are. But the sad part was that Saul didn't do it. And he didn't not only slay all the sheep, he didn't slay the king. And the king Agag, now watch it, Agag was also in the lineage of this fellow Haman. Now we got our two sides of the family, amen? One sitting on this side of the aisle, one sitting on that side, amen? What we got now is we got Haman, the Agagite, and we've got Mordecai of Kish. And so you got something that went all the way back to the disobedience of Saul when he should have destroyed King Agag, and he didn't. Now we've come many years forward, and we're into Persia. We're into the kingdom of Persia here. We are into the time that Haman is in power under Ahasuerus, and he's going to get even. You understand, the Holocaust goes way back. When we think of Hitler and 6 million Jews being born, do you understand what the devil hates? He hates the fact that God has promised one day he's going to give a kingdom to the Jews. Do Do you understand that Hitler had a third so-called Reich or reign? He was trying to bring in a thousand-year reign. He was trying to bring in what only Jesus Christ can bring in when he sets up his kingdom and rules from Jerusalem and brings the promised seed, brings the Jews back into the kingdom. Do you understand that Hitler and everyone, including Ahmadinejad today in Iran, understand and hate the fact that God chose those people to do that with, and they can't set their own kingdom up until they eliminate them? So the Jewish solution with Hitler was to burn them. Do you understand what the word Holocaust means? If you look it up in the dictionary, it means holy burnt. Burn them all up. That's what Hitler had in mind. And that's why we call it the Holocaust. The Jews call it the Holocaust, because it's true that we still are fighting the same battle today that was fought way back then. And if we update it now, we can understand why Persia, who is Iran is the old Persia. In fact, it was 1934 before they changed the name from Persia to Iran. And you understand a little bit about the hate. The Bible calls it perpetual hate. Perpetual hate. Now, I want to use a little jingle this morning with you a little bit. The jingle is, and do you ever see the commercials on TV? Pay now or pay later. It generally was with somebody not changing the oil in the car, remember? And the insinuation there, it intimates that if you don't pay this price now, you're going to pay a lot higher price later. And the truth of the matter is, today we're seeing that even in the Bible story that I just referenced to you. But we're seeing it at present day. We're seeing it in our government today. Do you understand the economy example today is because of some folks not doing right here, and now we're paying a bigger price here? That's what's happening with the economy today. Sort of like one fellow said his paycheck didn't survive the trip home. We've all had the time it didn't survive the whole week, amen, before the next payday. But the truth is, on a bigger scale, and even on our government scale, the government can do what you can't do. If you go in the back room and print some more money, you're going to be in trouble. But that's exactly what's happening today, because up front we didn't do right. Now we're paying more for it later. See, in old America, we didn't foolishly spend. Even rich folks, in the sense of comparing to me or you, we would call them rich, didn't show off their wealth. Were you raised as a kid where you could get in trouble if you didn't turn the light switches off? I was. I mean, the light bill might reach $5 or $6 a month if you didn't watch it. Amen. I remember my uncle, when I went to his house, brother, he'd get you quick if he found one of them little 40-watt light bulbs still on after you left the room. I remember folks keeping a ball of string because they'd wind it up and save it. You probably never had it that tough, but you know what? They had a principle involved, the principle of thrift, the principle of saving, the principle of not wasting things. But we've come to a place in America to where the principle's gone. And we got an attitude today that the world owes me the living, the government's going to take care of me from the cradle to the grave, and I got a right to have it because I saw it on TV, and everybody else has got it, and I ought to get what they've got. The old idea of the old-fashioned way of earning it is kind of lost. And some of you aren't liking this because some of you are looking in the mirror a little bit. The truth of the matter is, a lot of our troubles come because we didn't do right here, and now we're paying more later, is what it amounts to. Well, all I had to do was sign it. All I got, that little plastic card, it didn't hurt. I just went in there and did it to them. But then something happened at the end of the month. Somebody remembered what you'd done. Then you got a bill, amen. Help yourself. I'm talking to you about being in trouble in America on a wholesale basis, because we're in trouble on an individual basis to a great degree. There's people that sign mortgages that never had any idea they could make the first payment. They thought Santa Claus was coming, but he didn't show up. Amen. Old America didn't spend foolishly.
I read in the paper somewhere this week that Dale Carnegie, and I don't know if you know who he's supposed to be, a wealthy guy, they said that he debated, he bought an organ and he debated which room of the house to put it in. He was wealthy enough to put one in every room, but he didn't want to look like a spendthrift. He didn't want to look like he was wasteful. We could all tell stories about that. But the truth of the matter is the collapse has come from an attitude of not doing right here and paying more later. Now that attitude is hurting us today. Result of the economic holocaust we're in, and we are in one. Are you seeing in the news where they're calling to get rid of the dollar? Are you seeing the devaluation of it? Do you understand that by the dollar you got in your pocket today, if you got one, is worth 22% less than it was 8 years ago? Amen. My, say, well, what are you trying to do? Get me to put it in the offering plate? Yeah, we need it more now than we ever did. Because it's worth less, amen. And it won't cover the bills as well. But the truth is, we're looking at a holocaust economically, and it's ushering in what the Bible described as the mark of the beast when everybody gets a number, and you can't buy or sell without it. Amen. What happened? We didn't do things right here. Like Saul, we didn't get rid of old Agag the king, the evil one. And he crops up here later in a fellow named Haman, relative, that's trying to bring the holocaust to the Jews, destroy them all. That's what the book of Esther is about. Trying to get rid of a race of people is what is happening there. That's been true economically. It's also true in our wars. You know, somebody said, well, boy, what's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem was. We went over to Iraq and Iran probably at the same time and whipped them good and come home. Never had any obligation to go over and build their nation for them. Years ago, I heard somebody say, if you're a poor nation and you're the ruler of a poor nation, the best thing you can do is pick a fight with America. Let America come whip you, and then they'll build you up, make you rich. That's the silly stuff that's been going on politically. Amen. So I don't like all that. Well, don't get up. Everybody will know why you're leaving. That's true with our wars. MacArthur wanted to cross the 38th parallel and go into North Korea. Understand what I'm saying? But the president and the politicians wouldn't let him. Now, how about Korea? Now they got the nuclear weapons. Now they're the threat. Could have paid then. Now we're paying now. Understand what I'm saying? I'm saying we pay the holocaust to pay in the long run because we didn't do right. Now, the longer we wait, the higher the price. Now we're looking at a military situation. We're looking at a nuclear thing. We discovered that it's a lot worse than we think, and a lot of things are going on in the credibility gap that you and I don't even know about. Do you remember the news recently? The mystery ship, they called it, that was going down toward Israel. And it got hijacked by the pirates. There's a big mystery about it. Russia involved in it. The news is leaking out now what happened. It was an Iranian ship leaving Russia with uranium on it and all kind of explosives hooked to it. It was a floating, dirty bomb. And it was headed for a port in Israel. And as it went through the Somalia coastline there, the pirates didn't know any better, and they boarded it, just like they've done some of ours and others. And they boarded that thing, and as they begin to pry into the cargo that it had, they begin to lose their hair, and their skin begin to turn yellow, and they begin to get nauseated because the Iranian was on that thing. The truth is, it was a real mess, and the news hadn't leaked out on it yet. But I see God's intervention even through the pirates in America discovering that it was a dirty bomb headed for Israel. She said, well, what's the matter? Let Iran get the nuclear bomb. Don't kid yourself. Those folks will use it as soon as they get it. They'll chop your head off right now and they'll bust that bomb, excuse the word, but they'll blow up when they get time to and the opportunity to, and we better be wise to that. Truth of the matter is, we pay now, we pay later. That's what it really boils down to. That's been true in our wars. It's true if you want to look around today in society. See our government schools. I remember when nobody wanted to protest and say anything about it when prayer was kicked out of the school. Way back. We could have paid a price then and stopped where we're at today. Kick out prayer, kick out God, put in metal detectors and put in police. That's the price we're paying. And when they first started teaching sex education, everybody said, well, that's all right. Now they're teaching it's okay to have two daddies, two mommies. Amen. And cross-dressing. Did you see that in the news this week? Showing kindergarten students cross-dressing cartoons. Oh, yeah. And they're not going to stop it. It's getting worse and worse. And the whole thing was we could have paid up front, but now we're paying later. And I want to just drop this in. This is not just a commercial for my Christian school, but any Christian parent that wants to save their kids, you need to get them out from that filth. You need to get them out of that place. You say, well, I can't afford a Christian school. You can. Hey, it's pay now or pay later. I mean, it may cost you a little bit now, but what are you saving later? How you want your kids to turn out? That little kid that you that God gave you a heritage from the Lord that you love and you nurture and you raise up. Can you imagine what 10 years of that filth is going to do to them? And it is doing it. I'm a pastor. I deal with young folks. I deal with families all the time. And I want to just get some parents by the throat and shake them and say, if you wake up, I told you, I warned you, keep them in the nurture and admonition of God or this is going to happen. And it has happened over and over and over again. You know what? It's a sad truth, but that stuff is awful. And yet Christian parents, supposed to be Christian parents, shut their eyes, excuse it every way that they can. I want to tell you, folks, a Holocaust in our young people has happened. Culture didn't change. We let the devil get in and raise a generation that we don't hardly recognize now. And the polls and the stats tell us that it's just as big with church members as it is with the world. That's telling us as church members, as Christians, we failed keeping God's command to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Holocaust we're reaping. Holocaust we're reaping in this thing we call abortion. We're going to stand out there today with our signs, rightfully so. But I'm old enough to remember when the thing happened in 1973, when Roe versus Wade was decided by the Supreme Court. There was the biggest Baptist convention, biggest Baptist group there is, holding their convention in Orlando, Florida, in 1973. I had an independent Baptist preacher up there that folks thought he was a little bit uncouth, but he hollered and screamed against the fact that they would not pass a resolution against abortion on demand and send it to Congress. Who'd you say? I said Baptist. I mean, Baptists that believe in the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the return of Christ. And we can't stand against abortion. Do you understand what we're going to do today to go out there on the side of the road and lift up a sign saying I'm against killing the babies? That's embarrassing to some. See, there's a reproach to obeying Christ, always has been. But brother, it's going to switch when we get to the judgment seat. I mean, when the Lord Jesus Christ takes control. But now we got a Holocaust. Hitler killed or burned 6 million Jews, killed and more than that, really, but the count is generally accepted at 6 million. But wait a minute, I said a Holocaust of abortion, genocide. Let's do a little mathematics. You want to do something in your head real quick? Go to 1973. All right, that's 27 plus 9, 36 years. 36 years since 1973. Now there's 365 days in a year. Multiply 365 days in a year times, and I'm going to use a minimum figure, not the maximum, minimum figure of 4,000 abortions a day. Multiply 4,000 times 365, then multiply that by 36. Talk about a Holocaust.
25 million plus. Compare that to the 6 million Jews that Hitler got rid of. Tell me, see, we could have paid in 1973, but now what are we paying? Huh? I mean, from, oh, I know what they said. They said, well, there'll be very few. I think Bill Clinton said something like that. Yeah, we'll make it legal, but rare. He's mixed up on that as he was on the word is. Holocaust to pay. Holocaust to pay. That's true in our church homes. You know what, Christian, when you give up separation, I'm talking about keeping your kids from the world, you're going to pay a price for that. You say, but she screams and hollers. She's 13. She's going to be an old maid. And you're making her wear that dress too long. And I just can't stand it, preacher. The kids nag at me all the time. So you give in. That was a small price to pay, being the boss of your kids when they're young and seeing what happens when they're old. Big difference. Big difference. Pay now, pay later. Give up on Christian separation if you want to. You read in the Bible where God commends it. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, all the way back when the commandments were given to Moses, God said, I wish that the people would have a heart to keep them. You see, God doesn't give these rules to persecute us and to make our life miserable. He gives them to protect us. Amen. And to make it turn out right. And the more you rub against the world, parents, the more your kids are going to get deeper into it. I mean that. I'm so disgusted and sick of some preachers that think they've got to get a crowd with the worldly means. I read this week where an evangelist, he's going to tell them about Jesus when he gets them together, but he's created a pit, a rock and roll pit. That's what they're calling it, a pit. Now, I know what the Bible calls a pit. Pit of hell, brother. But he's going to have a rock and roll pit, and he's going to bring these young people in, and I forget the word that's called where they rub their bodies together, supposed to keep their hands off but just brush with the bodies, and they're going to wiggle and squirm and dance with the psychedelic lights to the rock music. And because he's going to do that, he said that's the kind of music they love, so I've got to get a crowd by bringing them to it. Hey, we don't get in the hog pen. We stand on the outside and reach to pull the guy out of the hog pen. That's the devil's hog pen. That's the devil's pit. Who are you kidding? Say, well, there's young people's music and old folks' music. Yeah, there's God's music and the devil's music. That's what it amounts to. What it amounts to. And some of you right now get miserable all you want to. Just pay now or pay later. You better watch it, folks. I'm telling you biblical truth on that. You see, too many were like Saul. He didn't obey. He pretended to obey. He didn't kill King Agag. He took the fattest of the sheep for himself. He lied to the prophet Samuel. And if you'll read and find out what happened to Saul, did it catch up with him? It sure did catch up with him. But you know, it's true in our church today. We give the crowds what the flesh wants. A lot of churches are shocked that Landmark keeps a pretty good-sized crowd, and we still hadn't changed. Still hadn't changed. When we were redoing our mortgage here, the guys met with me in the upper room, and of course, they come from different banks and all, and yes, this one went to church here, and that one went to church there. And they asked me, they run the calendar forward, and this has been years ago now. They ran the calendar forward, and they say, what are you going to do to keep growing? I said, just what we are doing. They said, well, the others are changing this way and that. And I said, that's going to make us unique because we're not. And we kind of had a little go around over that. But I got news for you. We've grown in those few years where some others haven't. I don't believe I need Satan's blessings on my ministry to make me grow. Amen. I don't have to use his stuff and his methods. But you know what? It's too bad today. A lot of churches have given up on that. Now, they pay now, they pay later. I want to say to you also today, though, that's true with those that are unsaved. Do you understand? You're unsaved, and you say, well, preacher, if I repent and turn from my way to God's, it's going to cost me. That's right. Yes, it is. It's going to cost you less now than later.
You're going to rip a holocaust of cost. It's called hell. That's what the Bible calls it. Get you a new Bible that don't say it if you want to. But you go back through history and you will find out the culture of civilization had a lot to say about a place called hell. And there was a time that America feared and believed that hell was the destination of those that done wrong and rejected Christ. That America had some power with God. God took them through the Revolutionary War. He took them through the War of 1812. He took them through the World War I. He took them through the World War II. He saved our bacon in Korea, but we're a little bit in trouble with God now. You better believe we are. Because we quit paying the price of standing for what was right. I want to say to you, if you're not saved today, it will cost you some of this world's goods. Maybe. Most of the folks in this building would stand up and tell you that God honors them that honor Him. They'd tell you that the Christian life is the way to go. They'd tell you they never had it as good until they met the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what they would tell you. But see, the devil's lying to you, and he's telling you it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to quit this. You're going to have to quit that. And you'll never have any more fun. Hey, the devil's fun is not near equal with the Lord's joy. There's a difference between the two, brother. I mean a real difference. And I say to you, it's pay now or it's pay later. In our text here, the Holocaust was stopped in the book of Esther. See what happened? Haman planned it. I wish I had time to tell you this. Haman's 10 sons wound up on the same gallows hung with him, the gallows he built to hang Mordecai on. But you see, the king had a sleepless night, and he got to reading in the chronicles, in the government records, and they were read to him. And he found out there was a Jew at the gate that wouldn't bow to Haman, and that Jew had saved the king's neck when there was a conspiracy against him of a couple of his servants. And King Ahasuerus said, "What can we do to honor this man?" And one of the most ironic things of sowing and reaping that you see in the Bible is when Haman come in just at the right time that the king was looking for somebody to honor Mordecai, and he said to Haman, "What should the king do to such a one he wants to honor?" Haman thought it was him. And he said, "Well, put him on the king's steed, on his horse, and do this, and put a robe on him." The king said, "That's right. Oh, that's good. Go out there and do it to Mordecai." Boy, the most ironic thing you ever see in the Bible on sowing and reaping. Old Haman had to go out and get the horse and the robe, put Mordecai on the horse and the robe on him, and lead him through the streets in front of the very people that knew he'd already built a gallows to hang him. Man, rest of the story I don't have time for, but you know what happened? They hang Haman on the gallows as soon as the king found out about his conspiracy to kill the Jews. And he hung his 10 sons. Now, I said this story goes through history. I mentioned the Holocaust to you. Do you understand after World War II, the Nazi war criminals were tried at the court in Nuremberg? Do you realize there was 10 of them to start with? Do you realize when they were judged guilty and they were taken up to the gallows, just like the 10 sons of Haman in the book of Esther, one of them by the name of Julius Streicher, however you say his name, as he went up the gallows, he was Hitler's propaganda minister. He was the one that tried to tell people Jesus Christ wasn't a Jew and that the Jews need to be destroyed and that the Aryan race that Hitler was building, that was the way to go. He was the propaganda minister. And when he went up the gallows to be hung, he prophetically said these words. He said, "Purim, 1946, that's when it happened, Nuremberg trials. Purim is a day set aside, 2 days set aside from the word pur, which means lot, which simply means that Haman was trying to destroy on that certain day all the Jewish race, just like Hitler was. And when that Nazi war criminal made the statement on the gallows, Purim, 1946, he was referring back to the last verses of this book I just read you, Esther, where the Jews set up a Purim Fest, a holy day still observed by them today, when God delivered them through Queen Esther, delivered them from the Holocaust that Haman
was planning for them. And to this day, they still celebrate it. And when that Nazi war criminal spoke out, say, how do you know about that? Well, he probably knew from reading the Bible humanly, but there was something else. There was 10 sons of Haman hanged with Haman. There was 10 Nazi criminals judged. One of them put a pill in his mouth, committed suicide. But the same demon spirits, the same devils that was in Haman and his sons was in the Nazi war criminals. And it was a devil that spoke out of Julius when he said, Purim, 1946. God is still watching things. And Hitler's Holocaust was stopped. Long before that, Haman's Holocaust was stopped. Today, Ahdinajad from Iran is planning another Holocaust, and God's going to stop him. How far is it going to go? I don't know. How far it'll go, but God in the end will win. If you're here unsaved today, all excuses you make for not receiving Christ, not getting saved, because you don't want to pay the price now, you need to look at what the price is later. Yes, you do. I mean, it's not what you're going to give up. It's what you're going to gain that you ought to be looking at. That's the difference, brother. That's the difference. I would challenge you here today, the same God that'll save your soul will save our country if we'd turn to him. He'd save our families if we'd raise them right by his book. And he'll save your soul in the Lord Jesus Christ if you'll let him today. And you can dodge the biggest Holocaust of ever. Jesus described it. He said, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Brother, that is a Holocaust. I was thinking about all the wiggling bodies and rubbing bodies in the rock music pit. If that's not a picture of the pit of hell, I don't know what is. Sad truth is, too many folks don't want to pay now. This morning, will you pay of turning your back on old life and coming to Christ? Repenting from that, coming, letting him be your Savior? Oh, my friend, if you could see the end, if you could see the big price at the end, you wouldn't walk down that aisle. If you're not saved, you'd run down that aisle to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'll come today. Let's bow our heads.